Ephesians, the fifth chapter, is where we'll be this morning. I want to read those first 17 verses. That's where we're gonna be set this morning. Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Each day, those who follow Christ are living out their convictions. They're expressing their convictions in the decisions they make in their walk with Him. Now, we live in challenging times. It's not easy to be a godly man or a godly woman in our society, but that is what God has called us to. And I want to say this, it is doable. It is doable. If you hold biblical convictions and desire to reflect the heart of God and what His will is, you'll have a challenge on your hands, and I think many of you realize that fully. But you know this, our walk should be a sweet aroma of Christ that flows from us to everyone, everywhere, all the time. That's what our walk should be, a sweet aroma to God of Christ that flows from us to everyone, everywhere, at all times. Our lives should mirror the life that Jesus lived and the life that we have in Him. Therein lies the challenge. The scripture that I have landed on this morning gives us the help I believe that we need to live in freedom that God has provided for us as followers of Christ. We're going to consider a walk this morning, a walk in a pagan society, and that's exactly who the Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus. That was a dark place, and yet the Spirit of God called them to live as light. First thing I want you to know here is, notice, is a walk to replicate. Those first two verses explain that. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you, and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. The first thing I want you to notice here is just to be like God. Be like God. Because of the relationship we have to Him as a Father, and I believe that's what Paul's expressing here when he speaks of God, God the Father, and as His children, we've been justified by faith in Christ. We are to imitate Him. We're to imitate Him. In this relationship, one of the motivating factors, I believe, is that we are beloved. We are especially loved of God. We're redeemed. We're His people. And He's proved it by sending His Son. You know, God is love, and He loves all people, and He defines love. But as those beloved, we are special. We are the apple of His eye. The defining moment of God's love came at the cross. It says in 1 John 4:9-10, but this, by this, the love of God was manifested or made known in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God defined love, and He is loving, and in the expression of that love, he sent his Son. The discussion in the book of Ephesians in this particular context, you can pick it up in verse 17 of the previous chapter. And it's a Christian's walk. What the question is, it's okay, now that I've come to Christ, how do I then live? And that's really what the apostle is answering here. And so one of the things we want to note is we're to be like God. He's been placing before us, the apostle has, what a godly follower of Christ looks like. For instance, instead of lying, we're to speak truth. Look at verse 25 in chapter 4. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Your neighbor is the closest person to you. And this is what God expects. He says, look, if this is the way it is with you, if you're lying, I want you putting on the new man and you setting aside the old man. Replace that with good and godly, righteous behavior. Instead of speaking lies, speak truth. By the way, if that's where our hearts are today, we need to repent of that. That's not what God would have for his children. And by the way, if we are living in that kind of life where we're trying to cover things all over the place, I want to ask you, what kind of freedom is that? There's no freedom there for you to live as Christ would have you to live. Your walk needs to set that aside. So instead of lying, replace that action with speaking that which is true. You know, God is holy, God is righteous, he's loving. We're to imitate him. He's our Father. We're to be like him. Not only that, we're to be like Christ. Look at verse 2 here of Ephesians 5. Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. An offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Not only are we to consider, when you think about your walk, when you think about how you are living life today, not only are we to consider our relationship to God the Father, but we're to consider our relationship to Christ. When it comes to our conduct, that our conduct needs to mirror the life of Christ. And what was his life like? What was he all about? How did he live his days on earth? Well, he walked in love. That is, love permeated in him and through him, out from him. He was loving to the disciples, to all of them, even to Judas, who he knew would betray him. And he gave himself up to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And that was for us. Do you see that in verse 2? Christ also loved you. He loved you and gave himself up for us. He loved me and gave himself up for me. That's amazing love. That's a living sacrifice. That's a sacrificial life that he lived out according to the will of the Father. And so this was a fragrant aroma. And his life is seen as something beautiful. It was an offering to God. And I love this word picture because it takes us back to the Old Testament where it speaks of this grain offering, and that's Jesus giving himself up. And this aroma is, I believe, what is described in Leviticus 2:2. He then shall, and this is the offerer, those offering a sacrifice, he then shall bring it to Aaron's son, the priest. So you bring this offering, you give it to the priest. And shall take from it his handful of its fine flour and of its oil with all its frankincense. And the priest shall offer it up in smoke as a memorial portion on the altar, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. And that's what our Lord's life was to the Father. It was a soothing aroma. It was beautiful. It was well-pleasing to him. I want you to note, though, when you offered this, that you gave it to the priest, and the priest took it over from there. And the priest did with that sacrifice, that offering, as he pleased. And that is a great picture of the believer's life. We're to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. And when we do it, it's hands off. It's to God as he pleases, and we let him take and direct and move and do with us as he pleases. And it is to be a sweet aroma to him. We're to imitate Christ. And each of us are daily offering to God something. And our walk is an offering. It says that clearly in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, this is on the basis of the mercy and grace of God. This is how we are to walk, how we are to live. By the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That's the offering we're to make. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind, that's part of what we're doing today. You've come into this place. I'm challenging you. I'm giving you the truth. I'm reminding you of those things you know, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. No one can leave here today saying, I don't have a clue what the will of God is. This is what God wants from us. The question then is to ask, what am I presenting to God, and is it a sweet aroma? Because I want to tell you, every one of you, you yesterday presented something to God. Every one of you did. You gave an offering. The attitude you had, the things that you deem right and good, those all were an offering to God. Your life is just that. And I believe today's a good day for us to look again at our lives and say, do they really line up with what God would have? So there's a walk to replicate. Be like God, be like Christ. He goes from there, and I'm just going to take these next verses. I don't really have time to go into the depth of all of them as I would like to. But I want you to see from verses 3 to 14 a foolish walk. Those verses describe a foolish walk. And I want you to know that any believer can get caught up in this. Each of us could do this. Perhaps some of us are living this way, but there's a foolish walk described here. It's a walk to avoid. And first of all, it's one that embraces immorality, impurity, and greed. Look at verse 3. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. Okay? So a foolish walk embraces those things. Immorality, impurity, and greed. Immorality refers to sexual relations outside the bonds of marriage. One that our society says is good. One that our society says is right. One that our society embraces as, listen, you old-fashioned, cantankerous, whoever, listen, everybody's doing it and you're a fool not to. That's immorality. Immorality refers to those relations outside the bonds of marriage. Impurity refers to that which is ceremonially and morally unclean. Paul used the same thing to speak in chapter 4, verse 19, of sensuality, every kind of impurity, and it would refer to that which is perverted. Greed refers to desiring more and more and more, having what is just beyond our reach. It's an appetite for which that which one doesn't have, and it can lead to idolatry. Ephesus, as I mentioned, was a dark society. In that culture, that sinful culture, God saved individuals out of that place. You know, he didn't take them directly to heaven. That's not how it works. He left them there to be a witness. And they're surrounded by sin. And you can be sure that many had come out of a life of immorality that was so rampant in Ephesus. We too live in a sensual society. Do you realize this, friends? In mere moments, within seconds, one can access things that ought not to be seen or heard or viewed in a matter of seconds. Pornography is at our fingertips. Just like that. And it's a great plague on our society. And it has touched the church and God's people. It's a plague in this nation. I believe a tool of the devil. He always takes something that's good and beautiful and perverts it. God has made us to be, to enjoy one another in the bonds of marriage, that sexual relationship. And the devil has perverted it. And it's enslaving. This is enslaving. Many believers have been enslaved by this kind of thing. This and other things. We could talk about drugs. We could talk about alcohol. We could talk perhaps about an immoral relationship. In 2 Peter 2:18, speaking of false teachers and their promises, this is what's said. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, these false teachers do this. They're being used by the devil. They entice by fleshly desires, the flesh. By sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error. And that's what their thought was. Listen, here's freedom. This is what you need. But this is what it leads to. Promising them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. And so, what are those false teachers saying? They're saying, hey, we got something for you. You'll be delighted with the taste. You've got to partake. And they're saying, this is freedom. No boundaries. No boundaries. You can live as you desire. No walls, no lines that you can't cross. It's okay. There's real freedom. Boy, does that sound so similar to me, to the book of Genesis. When the devil began to question Eve, did God really say this? And he's questioned his word. He's questioned his goodness. He doesn't want you to know, Eve. He doesn't want you to know the difference between good and evil. He doesn't want you to know that. God's withholding something from you. See, that's what's being said. And our society says the same thing. Says the same thing. Too many Christians are stuck in this rut. And if they don't take, I believe, drastic actions, they'll never get out of it. And I want to say to the men here, we will never be the men that God has called us to be if we're dancing with the devil in these areas. And I want to say to parents, listen, parents, every device that you've provided for your children, that smartphone, that iPad, that computer, in a moment, they can be where they ought not to be. And here's where I believe accountability is so helpful. I hope you have something on those devices that tells you or gives you a report where so-and-so's been. And men, we need the same thing. I believe as men, if we've got a computer, if we've got a device that gives us a place to go, then we need to have somebody that's over right over our shoulder. Again, I just don't believe we can dance with the devil on this. We can run next to it and say, I'm strong enough, I'm okay. We need to run from it. The apostle said so much in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee immorality. And Jesus said in, I believe it's Matthew 5, it's a Sermon on the Mount, that to look at a woman with lust after her, you've committed adultery in your mind. Flee immorality. Every other sin this man commits, it's outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. There's no freedom there. If you're involved in these things, I want to ask you today, is there real freedom there? Your response, if you look at it rightly, there's none. God provides the freedom for us. And it's in a worthy walk. This is going to seem 180 from what we might think. But I'll tell you, accountability is so helpful in these areas. And I want to say to you, if you're struggling with this, call it what it is. Let's get it right. If you're a married man, a married woman, whatever, if that's going on, this is not helpful to you and your relationship to your spouse. It's not good for your family. It can ruin you. So we need to be so careful. That's a foolish walk. That's embracing a foolish walk. So they embrace this, verse 3, immorality, impurity, greed. Those are things that Christians can embrace. They also embrace unclean speech. Look at verse 4. There must be no filthiness, silly talk, or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. A walk that well reflects on the fact that we're children of God will be reflecting on what comes out of one's mouth. Vulgarity, cursing, filthy jokes and languages ought to have no place in the life of the believer. James speaks to this. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. He's talking about believers here. My brother, these things ought not to be. He says, you know, we can praise God, we can curse men. Out of the same mouth, these things ought not to be. That should never be the walk of a believer. Again, if that's your struggle, friends, we need to repent of that. We need to call it what it is. It's sinful. It's not a reflection of Christ that's good. So that's a foolish walk, one embracing unclean speech. Furthermore, a foolish walk is one that fails to count the cost. Look at verses 5 and 6. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who's an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. This walk fails to consider eternity, that we need to be storing up treasures in heaven. It fails to think beyond the moment, and the actions of this believer are living just like that of society for here and now. And listen, they're not understanding that a believer here is losing, I believe, great reward. I don't think he's saying, look, there's no way I believe this, that he's saying, look, you, if you live in a sinful way as a believer, eternity is not yours. Heaven is not yours. I don't believe that's what he's saying. Because look at the verse. It says he has an inheritance in the, he has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. He's lost those things. We'll all stand before Christ one day, the judgment seat of Christ. And how we live here and now will impact that day. It's a judgment seat of reward. We will lose reward. Not only that, but there's a loss of reverence spoken of in verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And we need to recognize that God is a God of justice. And for those apart from Christ, his wrath will flow. There could be a deception, though, that comes within the believer's mind when he begins to lose the fear of the Lord. And if we would say today, is there a great fear of the Lord in our country, in our hearts? I think we would have to say, for the most part, no. We need to get back to that. That's foolishness. That's foolish. That's a foolish walk. And there's grace here and now. One's conscience, though, can become so seared over time to the point that really forget about who it is that I love and I know and whose I am, and forget that our God is a consuming fire. There's a wise walk. We're glad to get to that, right? Glad to get to that. Before we do, I want to say to you today, look, we ought not to be playing games with God. There is a price to pay. Consider it. And I want you to know, if you're walking in some way that's not pleasing to God, you're putting something into your body, either physically or you're in your mind or whatever, or you're living outside the bounds of what is right and holy and that a believer ought to live, you are not free. You're not free. And you will never be the woman of God, the man of God that God calls you to. And listen, life is way too short to not give it all to the Lord for his glory and to be used as a powerful tool in his hands to impact my family and society. So I want to, if that's where you're at, listen, God's standing there with open arms saying, I'm ready for you to repent. I'm ready to take you back. And we get on our face before God. We confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Isn't that beautiful? He's all over rebels. He's all over those who walk away from him. And he says, come back. Come back. Come back. There is a wise walk here, and he speaks to that. And that is the walk of those who are walking in wisdom is described in these verses. Look at verse 3. The last part of that verse. It says, immorality and impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. There's freedom for each of us in what is being said here. And there is a proper walk that is being described, and it's a pure walk. That's what he's talking about. Those things, you know what? Our flesh says, I'll take that in. There is a pull. The reason I'm up here preaching this is because our flesh says to us, I want that. There's an appeal. There is. There's a pleasure to sin. There is. There's consequences. The devil doesn't tell you what's on the other end of that. He just puts a carrot on the stick for you. But we as believers can walk, I believe, in purity. We see it for what it is. Okay, there it is. That's not the path that God would have me to go. By his grace, I'm going to walk as I should. But I'm going to recognize this, that there's a pull to me. And I can do anything that's foolish and stupid and sinful. I can see that, and that there's a fear in my heart about that. So there's a wise walk would be a life that is pure. A thankful life, lives that are thankful. Look at verse 4, the last part of that. He talks about filthiness, coarse jesting, so forth. Rather giving of thanks. You know what? You know what ought to come out of our mouth? God is good. God is good. I cannot believe he would love someone like me. He's merciful. He's kind. He's forgiving. I look back, I see his hand upon me. Giving of thanks. Giving of thanks. Fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. That's a sacrificial praise to the Lord. That ought to be descriptive of our lives. Lives that are separated. Verse 7. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Friends, this is where the challenge can really be, because we like to be liked. We like to be liked by people all over the place. But God calls us here to live separately. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. And look at verses 11 and 12. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. So this is a life that's separated. And it is by God's grace that I'm going to see it for what it is, and I'm going to stand for the Lord. I'm going to encourage other believers by doing what's right. Be a blessing to my family and my friends. Ultimately, I want to honor the Lord. But a life that's separated, God calls us to live separated. That doesn't mean that we're out of this world. That doesn't mean we say, you know, oh, there you are. Let me tell you, I'm so much better than you. No, that's not it at all. That is because I know the Word of God. I know the heart of God. And I can measure anything from that and know where does God want me to be in this situation. But lives that are separated. And a wise walk lives their position. Look at verse 8. You were formerly darkness. That's who you used to be. Don't forget that, friend. You used to be there. You were formerly darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. This individual lives their position in Christ. I've been redeemed. I'm a new creation. I've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear Son. And he has given me all that I need to live as I ought to live. It's there. I can say no to sin. I can. I understand the promises of God. And they live to their position. In John 8:36, it says this, if the Son will make you free, you'll be free indeed. It's not that we don't battle on this side of heaven, but there's freedom for us to walk as he called us to walk. It's a beautiful thing. I've told you before, I experience the greatest freedom in my life when I'm saying yes to the Word of God, when I'm doing what he's called me to do. But I'll tell you, in that, I have to humble myself. I have to acknowledge that, listen, this is beyond me. I have to get low before God and say, okay, in Christ, this is who I am. And I'm asking that you will work through me, that I may live as you've called me to live. This wise walk lives productive. Look at verse 9. The fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. There's fruit there. That's a productive life, and we ought to be able to see some of that. Finally, I want to say he lives a life of repentance. Look at verse 14. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, Christ will shine on you. Wake up. Wake up. See it for what it is. Call it what it is. Own your sin. Okay, own your sin. When you see it, when the Spirit of God helps you to understand this is wrong, it's sinful. I'm in a relationship with my Father. I'm in a relationship with Christ. Here it is. This is wrong. I call it what it is. That's the path to freedom. It's to own your sin. It's not to say, well, I made a mistake. Well, I'm a human. What do we expect? No, it's not excusing it. It's saying, I have sinned before God. So there is a wise walk. What does your life reflect today? Does it reflect a wise walk? Is your life pure? Is it thankful? Is it separated? Are you living out your position? Are you productive? Is there repentance? This is the aroma. This is the aroma that God finds pleasing. And we are going to lie to ourselves if we say we can't, by the power of God, live this way. We're defeated already. We're defeated already. No temptation has taken you or overcome you, but such is his common demand. You know what you're battling today in your heart? You know what it is. And I want you to know something. You're not alone, okay? You're not alone. Don't believe the lie of the devil. You're the only one that struggles with this. What's wrong with you? How could you be a Christian? You have no... Why even pursue Christ? No. Whatever you're battling with, others have as well. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape that you may overcome it. You may bear up under it. But is your life an aroma, a sacrifice to God that's a soothing and beautiful thing? I hope it is. Final exhortation and we're done here. Look at verses 15 through 17. By the way, verse 14 isn't just for sleepers in church. That's talking about spiritually those who are asleep. Verse 15, therefore, be careful how you walk. So let's wrap it up, okay? Let's wrap it up. Here's the final exhortation. We're going to wrap this thing up. Therefore, be careful how you walk. I was on the phone with someone a day or two ago, and we finished that conversation. They said to me, be careful. Be careful. I like that. But be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Let's remember, we have the possibility to do either. And I'll tell you what, our pride will help us to walk in a way that's foolish. The devil will use that in a powerful way. Make the most of your time because the days are evil, and they are. It's all around us. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I have a burden that we as a congregation, we as men, live as God has called us to live. We are in a nation, in a community, that needs to see what a man looks like who's following Christ. I would say the same to our women. You impact this church. You impact your families. You impact this community. You impact the world. Listen, if we're not where we need to be in following Christ, how can we expect that God's going to move some way in our family, in our friends' lives, in this community? It starts with us. It starts with us. And I know one thing. When I look at my life, I'm not quite there yet. There's still work that God wants to do in my heart, my attitude, and my actions. And men, we have to be the men that God has called us to be. He wants you to be a godly man. He wants you to make an impact where he's planted you. And if we're not careful, what has been described in an unwise walk will be ours. I want to say the same to our women. God has placed you in a specific place at a specific time to reflect what it is to know Christ. And here's the good news. I don't want to leave you without this. If he has called us to this, if he's called us to this, he, by his grace, will empower us to do just that. But it begins with a step. Every long journey begins with a step, one step at a time. And that's what we do. One step at a time. I don't know where you're at with the Lord today. I don't. But I know this. This is what God wants from us. I know this. If we want to measure our lives, here's a great scripture to measure it with. Now, if the Spirit of God has spoken to you in some area in your life, will you address that with him? Will you do that? Will you just get before God sometime today, maybe in this next moment, and say, God, I see it, and I know what it is before you, and listen, I know what you've called me to. There's a walk that's good and godly and right, and I want that to be mine for your glory. Will you get before him? Will you humble yourself? If there are issues of sin, maybe there's unforgiveness there. Maybe there's bitterness. Whatever it is, will you get before Him and call it what it is and own it? And then when you own it, you get before a holy God and say, I confess it. Here it is. It is wrong. By your grace, I confess it. And you've said you've forgiven me. Now I want to walk as I ought to walk. Because probably some of you today are carrying a big load of sin that's bigger than you, and it's inhibiting your race with Christ. As your walk in wisdom, with care in this pagan society? Are you walking in such a way that you're storing up treasure in heaven? Are you enslaved by a life dominating sin? And if so, are you willing to acknowledge it, confess it, take the appropriate actions to have freedom from it, run from it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's our pleasure to walk on this side of glory for you. Thank you for the extent of love that you've given and we proved it on the cross. Thank you for Jesus who died and rose again, never to die again, that we might be redeemed, justified by faith. Father, you know our hearts. And you know that your people over all of history have struggled to be separate, to live as you've called them to live. And we're no different. We live in a society that's dark, that's perverted, that's appealing at times. And Father, our flesh is there. And that old man is still capable of wreaking havoc on our lives. And Father, it may be that as I speak, there's some here that are caught up in something that's distasteful. It's destructive. It's sinful. Perhaps it's even hidden, not to you, but to others. Father, we want to walk in freedom. And as godly men and women, we can't do that if we're hiding stuff, we're covering our tracks. Help us to speak the truth. Help us to live as we ought to live. Father, I pray for these men, for these women, that you will use them in a powerful way in the days to come for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.